What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, as you and I look at our life, sometimes we have a feeling that we're not doing very well in the following category. One of the worst things that we can do in the following category of following Jesus is to switch the roles. And it's as awkward as a child has to switch the role of being a child and then becoming a parent to a parent. It's the switching of the roles that we have within our heart. You see, you and I, on a daily basis, are going to deal with life problems. Christians do not feel that at some point in your human existence, all of those life problems are going to disappear. They are not. But what should be going on within the heart of the Christian is such a desire to get it right. And yet, when we look at our life, we know that we did not get it right. But when we look to the depth of our totally spiritual existence, we realize that Jesus did it right. Therefore, you and I are heaven bound. Jesus did it right when he paid for my sins. Jesus did it right when he looked into my heart and convicted me of the truth about living in this human environment. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. And Christ came into my life. And then from the point of Christ coming into my life, I went through the ups and downs. I lived life. I lived life in combat on foreign lands. Lived life in combat on the streets of America. Lived life. And when we start looking at one another, we need to understand something. You and I, though we have one focus as Christians, and his name is Jesus, you and I have been called by Christ to minister in different areas of life, and we will minister in at the right time of life that God has placed us on earth. You do not have any idea at what point God is going to begin to use you for his full purpose, and you have surrendered your life to Christ the best you know how. See, that's all Jesus ever said. He said when she was pouring, Mary was pouring the perfume on his feet and said, shut up and leave her alone. That's a paraphrase. It was a little stronger than that. Leave her alone. She has done what she could. So we learn that God expects from us to do what we can, to focus on life and the journey. And then so many people said, well, you know, I'm just not good for anything anymore. If you were not good for anything anymore, you would not be around anymore. God uses us in different points in our life, in our age. Folks, don't forget Moses was 80 years old. You see, prior to the 80 years of age, Moses was doing business with the world. He lived life. But at a special point in his life, some are called sooner than others, but at whatever that point is, Moses, 80 years old, and here God says, Moses, you are going to go lead my people to freedom. Do you really believe that Moses thought, even after he surrendered, there's a whole lot of give and take going on in that story. But after he surrendered, do you really believe that he thought when he went into Egypt to proclaim God's power and authority to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, do you really believe that the greatest battle he would ever have would be the battle with the people he was freeing? The very ones God sent him there to free tried to kill him more than any Roman would ever attempt, any Egyptian would ever attempt. And what was going on in that time period was, what's going on in our time period? Life. And then a special call. All of us have a calling. All of us also have a calling, I truly believe, that we don't realize yet. God watches us mature in His Word. One of the greatest facts about living life is not fair and life hurts. But through the unfairness of our existence and through the hurting of our existence, God teaches us. He trains us. He provides us with just the right amount of grace to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And then, at one point or several points in our life, God says, now, it's your time. Take the word. Now, it's your time. Deliver my people. Now, Jesus said, it's my time. Father, nevertheless, Jesus prayed, let not my will but yours be done. You and I are alive today because of the will of God. Can anyone defy the will of God? Well, they can defy it, but it does not change the will of God. You will not change God's will for your life. I cannot change God's will for me. Did I not surrender my heart to Christ? Did I not say, here, Lord, I am yours, use me? Is that not what we do when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior of our life? We're getting ready to celebrate the greatest week that has ever existed. And that's the week from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, the story of Jesus. It's called Holy Week. A week set aside for God's service. It's called a time when you and I reflect, not just emotionally, not just mentally, not just spiritually, but we physically reflect what Christ means to us in our actions. Oh, Lord, I love your church. Then why don't you go? You got to watch yourself, folks. Lord, I just love you. Okay, who else have you expressed my love to show me that you love me? Love can be a word of words. It can just be something that is said. But the love of Christ was so strong that his Father watched him until he was dead. God looked to his Son to feed me and you. He looked to his Son. What could any of us do? Folks, listen, please. God is real. His Son is a part of us. I got a blood transfusion many years ago. In that blood transfusion, I was born again. of the blood of Christ. How many Christians look to the cross and see the reality as God the Father witnessed? As he saw his Son suspended on that cross and watched the heart of the very people that his Son was dying for become more hardened continually. Yet God looked in with his mighty love. Do you realize what it took? What kind of love it took for God the Father, the author of love, to turn his back on his own Son? For people like you and me who mocked him, who would use his name blasphemously. And God the Father in his mighty love would look to his Son hanging on that cross, and as he looked, he witnessed how much he loved his Son and how much his Son loved me and you. God's love went deeper than a human emotion, a human feeling. God's love went to the very heart of Christianity. One must die, the prophets said, and one shall die. And yet, on that cross, with all the power to come off and to wipe out human existence, you and I witnessed the ultimate love of the Father. A love with no end. A love with no bitterness. A love so great that God would listen as his Son would cry out from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me, Father?" And the actual word there for Father would really be translated Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? Because he loved. Do we not understand that love takes a toll? For you and I to love and to have a love that surpasses all understanding and a hope that the world cannot notice, do we not understand that that love hurts? Every time we say no to our child, every time we have to correct a child out of love, it hurts. And God said, "I love you. Larry Pete, I love you. Now, I want you to learn the story of my love, Larry." And over the decades, I continued to learn the love of God and yet have never, ever been able to understand it. Because it's love without end. It's not a love that he says, "I love you when you do right. I love you when you're good. But when you're bad and when you're wrong, I will withhold my love." It's a love without end. A love so powerful that it forgives. A love so strong that it holds on. There will never be a point in my existence now where I will cease to feel the hand of God holding on to me, the hand of God refusing to let me go. You know why? God watched his son and he let him go. Preacher, will you ever change the sermon or the story on Easter? No. That's why you and I are even here. Don't we understand, folks? Every Sunday for us should be the Easter Sunday. Do we not understand that the love of God deals with resurrection as powerful, which at resurrection overshadows death? Death is a shadow. The love of God through the resurrection, that is real. My life and your life are shadows. I pay closer attention now as people go on to glory than I've ever done. And I get more excited about it all the time. One day it's going to get to be my turn. But folks, knowing that, then I also realize that I got to be about my Father's business right here, right now. I'll enjoy that later on. But you and I have a job to do. We have a ministry to conduct. We have within our heart the pure love of Almighty God to share His love, not ours, His. The love that He died to give us so that you and I could share that love with others. And God turned His back on His only Son for you and me. I think that makes us pretty special. It's one thing to extend love. It's another thing as to whether the individual in whom the love was extended will accept it. A love without end that we have, a love that only Almighty God gives us, you and I need to pay close attention to. Because Christian, that ought to be the love in your heart. And the more you read about the story of the love of Christ, it's the more that we should share the love of Christ. When death has no more control by fear or intimidation, what excuse do any of us have for not being about our Father's business? Are we so busy with work? Are we so busy making money? Are we so busy doing life that we miss it? Are we the ones that are going to wake up one day and realize, I've missed life? I hurt for the children of our era because they don't get to have a childhood. They have to know everything according to the ways of the world. You need to grow up. No, let me tell you, one of the greatest harms done to a child is to have that child grow up too fast. Please don't be a child. Let them enjoy their childhood. It was Jesus who brought the little boy, brought the child to Him, and then all the children to Him. And then He pointed back at the adults and said, you boys are going to have to clean your act up and become like these little children, or you won't even get into My kingdom. My paraphrase. But it's a fact. You see, the childhood imagination, if If I did not have imagination as a child, how could I understand or not question the cross, death, the resurrection, virgin birth? I do not question it. Because as a child, we saw everything possible. Is it not the Lord that said with him, all things are possible? What man says can't be, then you need to listen to the other side. Whatever man's saying, it can't happen. You get a smile on your face because God has already done it. Well, that person can't be saved. You have no idea how vile he or she is. Yes, I do. I've listened to your tongue, and I know how vile we can become. And God says, whosoever will, let him come. That's what the cross is about. Every Sunday, I should preach the same sermon. And frankly, I do. Just in different ways. Every Sunday. And as the preacher said, I'll get off that sermon as soon as the congregation starts practicing it. But you see, don't we realize that the Bible is a book of our life? It's the book that contains life. You will find yourself in any and many time multiple parts of Scripture. You'll find your own personality. And you'll think, oh, that Lord's talking to me. He's got the wrong name there. That's a blessing for a Christian to see that, because only a Christian can see that. Only a Christian, one who's had that blood transfusion, accepted the blood of Christ as the blanket that covers us. Only the Christian can truly believe what the world says is impossible. Because it's not that we just think it, we know it, and we believe it. Why is all the religions of the earth coming against Christianity if Christ is not real? If everything Christ did, based on his love, if none of that is real, then why are they slaughtering the Christians? Well, I guess it's what we teach. Love as God has loved us. Do no murder. Don't steal. Live a life of love. That just does not sound to me like it's terrorism. But love was on trial. And we saw terrorists place the Son of God on a cross, called him evil, he who was good. And God gave a warning for us to heed. Don't you ever call that which is good evil, or that which is evil good. But now in our generation, everything goes. Nothing matters. We have no basic moral line. People do what they wish to do, and they frankly don't care. But the time has come and is already here. The judgment has begun at the house of the Lord. Those who profess to be with Christ will not go against Christ. They will love as Christ loved. We will forgive as Christ forgives. We will pick a brother or sister out of the ditch of life when they see no hope. For in Christ, not only is there hope, there is deliverance. In Christ, there is power. In Christ, there is strength. And the whole strength of God can be summed up in one word, love. God style. A love without end. When Jesus saw his father turn his back on him, Jesus asked that question, "Why have you forsaken me?" Got to remember, never had it ever been a time when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were ever separated. Never. But the ultimate payment for your sin and my sin, the ultimate payment, had to come from the Son of God. Because don't you remember? The scriptures tell us that Jesus was tempted in every avenue of life's existence, yet he never fell to temptation. But the ultimate of the temptation was to have a feeling God doesn't love me anymore for the twinkling of an eye. That feeling would rage inside a heart as though it were there for 1,000 years. But Jesus had to have that feeling to conquer it. So when we hear our fellow man saying, "I'm not lovable, God doesn't love me anymore," know the truth. Well, God can't use an animal like me. Hear the truth. Because of our sin, Jesus went to that cross. Because of the pain of life that was going to affect us, Jesus had to conquer it. And he did. Can you imagine the silence in heaven at that instance God turned his back on his son? Can you imagine the silence? And then God turns around. And Satan, the scripture tells us, it was at that point he realized he messed up, because it was over. It's finished. What I came to do has been done. You and I are here today. Those who are listening, you will hear the same love story in your own heart. Because you see, for those who have the feeling God doesn't love them anymore, that's an emotion. It's not a fact. If there would ever be a time when God would not love me anymore, then Jesus and his death on that cross would mean nothing. But when you and I cried out from within, God turned around. Do we not understand the preciousness of the love of Christ? Oh, that cross. It was meant as evil. And we have rallied around the cross for 2,000 years, the believers. But do we express his love? Do we truly understand that at one point in our life, all of the living life has got to be set aside for that ministry God has called us for? Many of us have lived an enjoyable life and a prosperous life. You're in the United States of America. But the greatest focus is on the love that gave us this life in the United States of America. For on that cross, Jesus took all my sin and all the sins that would ever exist when an individual would say, as a child, I believe. And God turned around. Now listen to heaven. Now, when God turned around to the ultimate of love, jubilation began, and there's no end to that jubilation. It is of God. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name and thank you, Lord. We ask that as you touch our life, that you will give each of us the strength, the will, give each of us the power to love like you love. Forgive us for our many faults. Strengthen us that we might strengthen others. For I ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.